Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to...
That's the worst attempt at the intro so far. You left the longest gap. You said hello in a stupid way and then you coughed. And I'm the one with the cough.
Thanks for the feedback. That's good. I'll take that on board.
Take that on board. You're a television executive.
Yeah. Hello, welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys.
Sorry, you forgot the name of the show.
With me, Tim Hinks.
And me, David Baddiel. Hello.
And David Baddiel.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back. We're still in the office, expectation, because it's actually only a few minutes since we finished the last one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say...
it's still going to be noisy. You heard that.
It's still going to be noisy, and Peter Fincham's son still has a broken elbow.
Yes.
So we're still not allowed into the shed.
Yeah.
But we are still here. And regular listeners, people who listened last week, for example, will know that I was complaining last week that there's a lot of tweets saying how great Tim is, how funny he is, how Tim's really the life and soul of this podcast.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to slightly upend that, because Bella, who is the producer, has alerted me to a podcast from Gavin Davis.
To a podcast?
Sorry, alerted me to a tweet.
A whole podcast of this.
A whole podcast about you. A tweet from Gavin Davis from 11th of December last year, which was...
He was the Secretary to the Treasury under Tony Blair, wasn't he?
Gavin Davis?
Yeah.
Maybe. I doubt it's him, because he also says... Fuck me, I would hate to see Harry Kane popping down to his local corner shop. He would never make it. Beyond the floor, more than a dog shit. And I reckon that's unlikely to be someone who was an important politician.
Right.
Yeah. I think he's written more twice accidentally.
Right, right.
Beyond the floor, more than a dog shit.
How much more on the floor can you be than a dog shit?
I'm imagining it's quite a shitty street that Gavin lives in.
Right.
More than a
dog shit is entirely on the floor, constantly, forever. So how are you more on the floor than dog shit?
There's a dog.
There's a brief period when the dog shit is born, when it's not on the floor.
Also, it's dead in a plastic bag.
You've got a dog. Have you got a dog? I can't remember.
Four cats.
Because as a dog owner, just you talk about, well, again, we're maybe off the subject a bit, but one of the worst things is when you haven't got poo bags. That's not the name of my dog. I mean, poo bags. Is that when you
don't... That would be a good name for a dog. Be my dog, poo bags. People say, haven't you got one?
Yeah, I've got poo bags. I just haven't got any poo bags. Okay. Is that if you haven't got a poo bag, using a carrier bag instead of a poo bag is one of the...
You think,
as a cat owner, you're sitting there thinking, well, it's surely not that much different.
Yes.
It couldn't be more different.
Really?
It's like using a...
That's interesting.
A book instead of toilet paper. I don't know, it's like... It's
right, just, that's a horrible image.
No, but it's, what I mean is it's like, it's sort of a bit the same, but it really
isn't. I can't imagine that. I mean, you've now... Well,
it really isn't.
You've created a situation there for me, which is like, I'm on the toilet, there's no toilet paper.
Right.
I'm reading a book, possibly quite a good book, Dickens, something like that. I've had to use the leaves.
And you'd have to hope you've got quite far in.
What? To my arse?
No, what I mean is you don't want to use the plot.
I you said the word plot. It sounds like plop. should we start again? Should we start the whole podcast again?
Wonder, I think that award season beckons. It's not like Krishnan Gurumurthy's podcast, is it?
It really is, and ways to change the world. But it's a good point about the... Yeah, I'm going to have to tell you that there's something in my mind now, which is really disgusting.
No, this is going to be bad.
It's really disgusting. Right. Which is, before I knew what was going on in toilets abroad. I went to the toilet once. I'm sorry, listeners, this is Google. I also can't speak.
Oh, my God. This is a disaster.
Oh, my God.
A glass is broken.
I'm sorry, everyone. I've broken a glass. Oh, God.
This is absolute chaos.
What the fuck is going on? You're now swinging from a bottle of water. It's like the end of days.
You broke a glass then.
Yeah.
There's also another famous glass breaking, which is at least to do with pop
glass.
Music. Well, there's I'm not going to play like on local radio his Breaking Glass by David Bowie. Yeah. That's too obvious. But if I've got this right...
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Hold on.
I was on.
Now, I'm just going to raise this so as it's nearer the bass strings than the top string. Pause broken at last. He's broke today.
That's it.
Wow, that is good, actually.
So that's John and Paul.
That is good.
That's before You've Got to Hide Your Love Away on Anthology.
Wow.
So what I should have said
about
is... They're about to do You've Got to Hide
Your
Love
Away.
So I would say, David's broken a glass, a glass he broke today.
Yeah, and then I should now do something which sort of changes the face of popular culture.
Yeah, go on.
You know, don't have forgot that. Don't have that. Like, this all began,
yeah,
and the whole unfortunate toilet breaking glass thing happened.
Yeah.
As I now wanted to say that despite all these lovely tweets about you,
oh yeah,
Gavin Davis on the 11th of December 2018 said in response to, it was a picture that we posted of me and Ricky Gervais and you,
okay, yeah,
why is Greg Wallace next to you? And I think he means you there rather than Ricky. So he's,
yeah, I think there's no doubt.
There's no doubt you're the Greg Wallace of that.
How do I feel about that?
Well, you knew that was coming. Because actually Bella had mentioned it,
yeah,
our producer. And then Bella, I think, because you're her boss maybe, tried to make it better by saying, who's seen Greg Wallace recently though? He looks great.
Mm.
He's like lost a lot of weight. He's really looking good. Mm. And I don't know. I don't follow Greg Wallace's body diary. But I, you know, that might be
true. How do you know he's got body diary?
Well, I'm using that as a general phrase for like understanding Greg Wallace's comings and goings with weight.
Right, right.
You know, that's what I mean.
Right.
I don't think he actually has a body diary, although maybe he does. You know, actually, someone that involved with fruit and veg,
could easily,
maybe they do. Yeah. Maybe, you know, I ate a lot of cauliflower.
Fruit and veg wouldn't have much effect on your body.
I had to use a book, yeah, toilet paper, lost a lot of weight. Anyway, I'm going to mention David Bowie, because you mentioned Breaking Glass.
Yeah.
Let's have a little bit of Breaking Glass, because I'm going to raise an issue about it.
Okay.
It's a great song.
It's an amazing song.
It's an amazing song. And I think it's just meant to create an element of disquiet,
yeah,
and sort of paranoia,
yeah,
expressive of how David felt at the time that he was,
yeah,
doing low. But don't look at your carpet. I drew something awful on it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it is? I'm seeing a cock and balls and a little spunk trail.
I'm seeing a sort of childish impression of Greg Wallace.
What, a doodle? Of Greg Wallace.
I've got to say, yeah, and a friend of ours, I think you know Neil Webster, who's a... Do you know Neil Webster? Comedy writer,
yeah,
and producer,
yeah,
and a brilliant man. And he said to me that he thinks his favourite, almost, I think he said his favourite Bowie line couplet is that. Don't look at the carpet, I drew something awful.
It's not at the carpet, it's don't look on your carpet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the carpet is identified as being owned.
That's a good point, actually. Let's,
I'm going to check that.
Yeah.
Because it makes a bit of a difference, doesn't it? Because if it's your carpet... Then you've...
Isn't it the carpet?
Don't look at the carpet.
Right.
Yeah, I just... But it's her room.
But I think...
It's her room.
Yeah, in your room. Okay.
Yeah, baby...
But I think Neil's point... I agree. It's such a colourful and... I mean, that phrase is all about... I think it's so Bowie. It's his breakdown. It's just how low he'd got. It's in some stranger's room and he's done something terrible. I have in mind a...
I don't think it's a stranger.
He's lost, isn't he?
Baby.
I feel like he's lost.
It begins... Yeah, you need to be closer.
Oh.
It begins, baby.
Yeah.
So it's a,
but I think...
That's one of the things that makes it brilliant.
Yes.
I'm going to have to disagree with you about Stranger, because one of the things that makes it brilliant is, I think, it's a relationship song. You're such a wonderful person,
yes,
but you've got problems.
Yes, right,
like,
okay.
So it's a relationship song,
yeah,
about something that's really weird,
yeah,
that's going on in the relationship,
yeah,
isn't it?
But I think... No, I agree, but I think that the...
Also, I've been breaking glass... I don't want to get all, like, English graduate on your,
yeah,
ass.
Do.
But it's in the detail. I've been breaking glass in your room again.
Right.
So again suggests it's,
yeah,
an ongoing thing,
yeah,
so in a bad, dysfunctional,
yes,
relationship.
But I think it's a breakdown he's describing, yeah. right? Is I think quite vividly breaking glass. And I always get the impression he doesn't actually say it, does it? That he's sitting on the floor. You know, he's not using furniture.
Well, I think it's quite hard to draw something from a standing position. I mean, I guess he could be kneeling. What's he using? A magic marker?
Yeah, what would he use?
Because a pencil. If it was a pencil, yeah. and I'm the baby in this situation, yeah. you're David. So you say,
right?
You just say what's happened.
I've drawn what? Sorry, who am I?
You're David. Yes. We're in a relationship.
Right. Don't look at the carpet, yeah. David.
No, you're David.
No, I'm imagining you. We're in a homosexual.
Oh,
relationship.
Oh, I see. I'm David. And, yeah. All right, I'm David Baddiel. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Fine.
Don't look at the carpet, David. I've drawn something.
It's a bit more complicated than me being David. I think I'm making it hard for the listeners to understand. That. Can you make me someone else? Hillary.
Don't look at the carpet, Tim. That doesn't make it complicated.
That makes it much more complicated. I've called Hillary for some reason.
Don't look at the carpet, Greg. I've drawn something awful on it. Right. It's a picture of John Turode looking really handsome.
What did you use, a pencil?
I used a... Yeah, but I got a very long pencil so I could do it standing up.
Yeah, I think that'll be all right, David, because I think it'll come off quite easily. You know, if you've done it with a magic marker or worse in soy sauce...
I've done it with the paint.
You painted? Yeah. Well, that's odd. Wouldn't you say, I painted something awful on it?
It was a filler for the album. I was in a rush.
That's an important point, isn't it? Yeah. Because he hasn't done it in paint. I'm going to have to disagree with that.
He's drawn.
I drew something awful on it. So I reckon it's got to be bad... Right.
I think you're looking at the wrong thing. What could the carpet be made of?
Yeah, well, that's important.
Because you might be thinking shag pile, and that's...
I'm thinking Allied Carpets. It's 1970s.
Yeah,
it's 77. There was an advert for Allied Carpets on every 15 seconds. So I suspect, although it was Berlin, but nonetheless, there's an advert for Axis Carpets.
Yeah. Was it Axis? What? Oh, I see. Sorry.
Thank you very much. Anyone who got that joke, be right in. Anyway, for 15 seconds in Berlin, I suspect shag. Yeah. Well, short carpet. It's got to be
short. It's short head.
It's got to be short head because a long head carpet again, you wouldn't see it, would you?
No, exactly.
Or if you tried to draw a long head carpet, it'd be difficult to say what it was.
You'd say. Do look at the carpet. Yeah. I attempted to draw something off but it hasn't come out at all. You won't see it. So,
you won't see it.
Why mention the carpet in the first place? I shouldn't have done. But I think the answer, when I've thought about what he's drawn, honest answer, in my mind, it's like sort of pentangle.
Yes, I was about to say
devil,
exactly the same
satanic thing.
God, that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
I was really just about to say exactly the same thing. I mean, obviously, that might just be what you imagine because from horror films. There's often a top shot, isn't there, of like a floor with a pentangle scratched into it.
But also there's the Jimmy Page.
I mean, that would be worse than a carpet, you see. If it was
right.
a bit later, right, we're talking early 90s,
yes.
most people would have had floorboards by then.
Yes.
And Bowie would then have scratched, maybe with a compass or something,
I've scratched
a pentangle.
Something
like, don't look at your floorboards. I've scratched something. Yeah. Or, that's worse.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I think if you imagine it as a relationship, he's... continually been breaking glass in her room.
Yeah,
he's now drawn something. Yeah. He's drawn a cock and balls and spunk on a carpet.
He's pushed her to the limit.
He's trying to make it better by saying you're such a wonderful person.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yes.
He's, you know, he's saying, you know, I know I've done all these terrible things, but yes, you are a wonderful person.
Yeah.
But then he goes back on that and says, yeah, you've got problems and I'm never going to touch you. I was hurt...
No, I never touched you, does it?
I'll never touch you. Not you I never touch
you. Do you think it's... Because we're both married, happily married and so on, so we believe in partnerships. And do you think it's possible that David, with this imaginary person, in years to come said, God, do you remember that whole phase when it was I drew stuff on the carpet and I broke glass and oh, don't worry about that, we got over it. In other words, it doesn't feel like... You've got to say that relationship doesn't feel like it's built to last.
No. Well, I think it definitely didn't. I hope that she chucked him.
Yeah.
And when David said why, she said, well, don't be fucking stupid. You drew shit on you drew that horrible pentangle on the carpet and then you broke glass in my room and then you said you're never going to touch me.
Yeah.
On that note, I think we can finally move on from that.
Mm.
So I wanted to play you something, which is there's quite a famous compilation on YouTube.
Right.
David Bowie Gets Annoyed. Have you ever seen that?
I've gone past it. Yeah, I've assumed it's a bit disappointing. But is it
is disappointing. Right. Because actually, most of it is not him getting annoyed.
It never is it?
Most of it is him getting a tiny bit, not even annoyed really, just a little bit sort of sarky.
Yeah.
I think Bowie...
Often jokingly.
Funny, snarky, whatever. There's one bit at the end where he gets a bit annoyed on stage, which I'm not going to play because it's not that interesting. He just basically says whatever with the band.
Right.
But he's with Jules Holland. And I think he genuinely does get annoyed here, but in a very particular way.
Okay.
So what I think has happened is, I haven't actually, we can probably find this, definitely, is Bowie's played something. It looks to me like he's mid-90s or possibly early 2000s. So it might be something from 7 or something.
Yeah.
And he's done it. And now Jules has asked him to sit down at the piano, like Jules does, and either play something on the piano.
Right.
Which Jules is going to boogie woogie.
Yeah.
And David doesn't really want to do it, and he says this. So if you listen.
Marvellous band, a marvellous new album that we're going to be hearing.
I had a good night's viewing planned, so we run a bit late, so I might have to
rush this, get through.
Yeah, let's get this done.
Okay. Wow.
So that's interesting. I think that's genuinely a bit. Like a lot of the others, as I say, they're jokey or they're just a bit Bowie 70s weird with Russell Artie. That's, if you look at him, he's genuinely kind of like, do I really have to do this, Jules? And he's, what he actually says, which is, I'm interested in what you think it might be, he says, I've got a night's viewing plan. He looks at his watch. He says, I've got a night's viewing plan, so we're going to have to rush this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder what
but
it was.
Also, I wonder if he's... But they made him late. You know, I wonder if that's his sort of
slightly
passive aggressive.
Well, he says it went on a bit longer than I hoped.
Yeah. And there must be... There's a point at which, you know... Being on Jules Holland, you think, would be a sort of bit of a thing, but for him, he's done it so. It's the same when you watch Paul McCartney.
I really don't think being late to Jules Holland is a thing for David Bowie.
I don't know what I'm doing on this, and if it's perfectly smooth, I'll do it. But as soon as one, and that's obviously what's happened.
Yeah,
I certainly wouldn't want to miss what Newsnight.
I wonder what the. I wonder what the viewing was. We might have to check when that was.
Tell we know he liked his comedy, and maybe
I wonder if it was that. I wonder if it was The Office, which obviously he was very into. Bowie on Jules Holland later. Shall we find out when he was on?
Yeah,
because he was on quite a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh God. So I think it's early 2000s.
Yes.
So what? Extras.
Yeah, maybe he's just coming back in and doing. He did a world tour in like 2002, didn't he? Or was it
It's
funny that late that evening's viewing, because whether that's true or not. There's an interview with Paul McCartney when he talks about when him and Lennon were in, it was 1976, and you know when they're watching Saturday Night Live and Lauren Michael says, if the Beatles are watching, I'll give them some money to come and perform.
Right.
And they do this thing about, they sort of dared each other to go and almost did, but Paul McCartney says...
When was this?
This is 1976, the last time they met.
Paul McCartney and John Lennon met?
Yeah, in New York.
How do you know? So where is the record of this?
It's written about, it's been interviewed, both of them talked about it.
Right. And Lorne Michaels.
So Lorne Michaels...
Who I've met, by the way. I've had dinner with Lorne
Michaels. Right, so he's the famous producer of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
It's funny, because he says, there must have been talk about the Beatles getting together. He says, there's all this talk of the Beatles getting together. NBC, National Broadcasting Corporation, have allowed me to make an offer because we understand it's money that's the real key here for the Beatles. So if you're watching, I am licensed to give you...
So hang on, Lorne came on SNL.
$3,000. With the joke being it's not very much money.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can find this.
Three songs, that's $1,000 a song.
Yes.
Come on down.
SNL, Lorne Michaels, Beatles offer.
Oh, do you not know this story?
I've never heard this story.
Hi, I'm Lorne Michaels, the producer of Saturday Night. Right now we're being seen by approximately 22 million viewers. But please allow me, if I may, to address myself to four very special people. John, Paul, George, and Ringo, the Beatles. Lately, there have been a lot of rumors to the effect that the four of you might be getting back together. That would be great. In my book, the Beatles are the best thing that ever happened to music.
Okay, I can see what's going to happen. Just for listeners who don't know, it's really worth noting something about this, which is Dr. Evil... In Austin Powers is based on Lorne Michaels, so bear that in mind.
Okay, so that's the same joke. It's the same joke.
Listen to this.
It goes even deeper than that. You're not just a musical group, you're a part of us. We grew up with you. It's for this reason that I'm inviting you to come on our show. Now, we've heard and read a lot about personality and legal conflicts that might prevent you guys from reuniting. That's something which is none of my business. You guys will have to handle that. But it's also been said that no one has yet to come up with enough money to satisfy you. Well, if it's money you want, there's no problem here. The National Broadcasting Company has authorized me to offer you a certified check for $3,000.
That is quite similar to the Dr. Evil gag.
$1 million.
Of $1 million, yeah.
But the story, the point about the story, which is like the Bowie thing, which is...
Hang on, so, are we just going to have to follow through and say George Harrison turns up?
No, he doesn't... I think that's the following week or something. But... just as Bowie said he had a late night viewing, you know, in that sort of slightly mundane way, you think surely he was going to a party, whatever. When Lorne Michaels makes that offer, as it happens, this is the story, and both John and Paul talk about it, they were in John's apartment in New York,
right,
and they were watching Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And they both said to each other, and Linda and Yoko are there, and they're all being friendly, oh, let's get a cab and go down there, because that will just completely blow their minds.
Yeah.
And in the end, both of them seem to say the same thing, which is they sort of dared each other, but didn't do it. And John says, in the end, we were just a bit too tired.
Oh, that's incredible.
And you sort of think...
that's incredible.
Surely there's a bit... they were sort of sitting there getting tired, watching, a bit like when you watch news or something.
I find that an amazing story, because, of course, not only would that have been amazing, and then maybe the Beatles would have got back together, John Lennon might not be dead, is what I'm thinking. Because in terms of the butterfly effect...
Oh, I see. You everything
know,
changes.
Everything changes. Yeah. And it's in New York. Yes. And, you know, just would mean his whole trajectory for the rest of his life would have been slightly different.
No, I take that point.
You know, that's
but
incredible.
But I like the idea they were too tired.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm sure in the end it's probably a bit more complicated. But Lorne Michaels is funny because he says, it's a funny clip because he says, 3,000, I want you to do three songs. So, for example, so he says, Do She Loves You? That's $1,000. But they never did it, as you know.
No, they never did it.
And still haven't got back together.
Okay, well, I can tell you one small way in which I plug into this. I like to plug myself into any of these stories.
I was trying to work out how to get you in.
Yeah, which is, here's George Harrison turning up for his $3,000.
Yeah.
And actually, I think George... I could be wrong about this, you could contradict this, but it's interesting that George turns up, even though obviously that was obviously worked out by SNL, because I think George had a slight element of being the one most interested in money with the Beatles, because of Taxman, which he wrote, didn't he?
Yes. I think, well, he was also the funniest, you could argue, and what he does, I think it's a really dodgy clip, so don't need to, but what he does is, the joke is, which I think would be a very George joke, he turns up and says, oh, hang on, I thought it was 3,000 each.
Oh, right.
Which is funny, because it's still small.
Still obviously not very much, That is funny.
So rock stars, even at that level, can basically just sit on the sofa getting tired.
Yeah.
And that can be the end of their evening, is what that story tells you.
Yeah.
And that's good to know, isn't it? Because I did that last night, for instance.
Right, so you're saying getting tired is the new rock and roll.
Do I live a bit like John Lennon? I guess I do.
Yeah. Was there a bloke on the telly saying that you and Richard Osman... to get together again, he's happy to pay almost £3,000.
We'll pay through the mouths for Businessmen and Bicycles, the band I was in the sixth form, to get back together again.
Businessmen and Bicycles?
Businessmen on Bicycles.
Businessmen on Bicycles?
Yeah.
Oh, you have mentioned them once before.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see them on Twitter quite a lot.
Wasn't there another band?
I've been in a number of bands, David.
Right.
Yeah.
I was in a number of bands, which I've mentioned, but Mark Kermode, I may have mentioned this before.
Toilets again,
Yeah, Mark Kermode, who is the film critic, he was at school with me. And I was in a band with him. And he's written a book called This Is How It Feels, which is about him trying to be a pop star. And there's a picture in it of me
in his
band when I was 14. I could probably show it to you if you want.
Yeah.
I don't think it really works for the listeners.
Right,
but I look so young in it.
Yeah, well, you're 14.
Yeah, but I sort of look...
14?
Seven in it.
Right, okay.
But with an electric guitar.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. With my Columbus Strat.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
No, not lovely. Shit, it's quite a shit.
Right. Oh, I see.
Stratocaster remake.
Right, that's
Japanese
not colour.
Remake.
Yeah, terrible, yeah.
Yeah, colour.
No, I thought Columbus Strat was a colour or something.
No, it's not a colour. No. Columbus was a Japanese company that copied Stratocasters.
Okay, I should know that. I like to say. Yeah. Talking of Japan and toilets,
yes.
The thing we haven't said, which...
We've talked about that in quite a long time.
No, but the only thing is, toilets in Japan are amazing.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
And it's the
I'm thinking about getting one.
But it's a toilet. You should. Everyone's got one.
A Japanese toilet. I'm thinking about it.
Well, the listeners may not know unless they've been in Japan. The two things about them. One is there's toilets everywhere, which is quite rich.
It's incredible how many toilets
there are. Wherever you are, a tube station or a subway station, there'll be a toilet.
You know what there also is, which is really amazing?
Right.
I mean, this might exist in Britain, but I've never really seen it.
Right.
Is in big places like the airports, they'll have a braille thing outside the toilet with all the toilets like shown in braille. So you can see, it just looks like a map of the toilet.
Yeah.
But actually what it is a braille. I mean, the Japanese are amazing from the point of view, so that when blind people go in, they'll know where the cubicles are and where the urinals are.
But as you know, that all the toilets have heated seats, even in public spaces.
No.
Yeah.
Not even in public spaces.
Yes, in the tube. Yeah. Unless that's
you say that, but I had a very, I mean, I know I've already mentioned some bad incidents. I had a terrible incident in a toilet in Tokyo last time I was there.
Not
only was it not heated, it was just a kind of...
Was it the hole in the ground? Okay, there are a couple of that's true.
Yeah.
But mostly they're heated
seats. If the hole in the ground is heated, something's wrong. You don't want heat coming off that.
It was after you've been in.
Yeah.
But then in the public spaces and restaurants often they have this thing, don't they, which is a button. There's buttons for B-Day.
Yeah.
You can
have different pressures.
But there's also a white noise button.
Is there? Oh, to stop the hearing you...
Yeah, which is really interesting because you think...
You shit.
Well, you sort of think...
Or we.
You think England is the home of embarrassment.
Japan is the home of formality.
So there's a noise... You can play noise just so that you don't feel...
It should be a number of noises, shouldn't it? It shouldn't just be white noise. I think if you want to create that illusion, you should be able to, like, maybe the sound of someone singing in the toilet, the sound of someone maybe doing cocaine deals in the toilet.
What about just the sound of really loud farts?
That would be quite good. If it was really loud farts, that's a brilliant idea.
You press the button.
Obviously, that can't be. It's a brilliant idea. Anyway, we never actually said...
Right.
I kind of want to end now, but I don't think we actually said... The point about Japanese toilets, because people may not know, is they have a spray that comes out of the toilet, rather than the spray that goes into the toilet, which comes out of you, it comes out of the toilet as a way of cleaning your backside after, and that's what's so extraordinary about them.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, once you've tried one, you just think, like, well, this is obviously what a toilet should be.
It's a bit like if you...
Because actually using the leaves of a book... It's a stupid idea.
As you've done.
As I've done.
A tale of two shitties. I think you said you used...
Oh, well, I actually even said Dickens.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
That's brilliant. What a callback that is. That's a fabulous callback.
Thank you for goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.